Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's so good to be back. Missing 2 weeks made me feel like a fish out of water. And I'm so glad God has given me the opportunity to return to be in fellowship with the body of Christ as we explore the Word of God together, trying to grow in God's grace and in the knowledge of Him and our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. It's always an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come to the fellowship, the partakers of the household of faith, as we come together to learn more about our Maker, our rock, our sword, our shield, our deliverer, our healer, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I thank you, and I thank God for this opportunity. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Romans. We're going to be in the first chapter, and we're going to study verses 16 through 20. The title of the lesson is, God has given us enough evidence to know who He is. God has given us enough evidence to know who He is. And with that being said, we must realize that no excuse that we can make when we stand before the righteous judge will be accepted. I like to think we're living in a dispensation of time of no excuses, because God has given us evidence all kind of ways so we can have a chance to know who He is. At this time, I'm going to play a song, because the only way for us to please God is through faith. So this song is called We Come This Far By Faith. And we're going to lean on and depend on God. The songwriter let us know that we come this far by faith, and we have to continue in that faith. At this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace and prayer. Our prayer intercessor has pressed the one button. I'm now opening her phone, and she's going to come before us in any manner that God is leading her at this time. So, Sister Pam, the mic is turning to be open, and it haven't cleared yet. I don't know what's going on with it. Sister Pam, can you hang up and call back in? We'll wait for her to call back in, and hopefully this time everything will be all right. I pray that everybody had a great week. Well, really 2 weeks. I am so glad and elated to be back with you guys on tonight. I thank God that he brought me back safely, and I'm able to come before the people of God. Sister Pam has come back on, and your mic did open this time. So, Sister Pam, you could come before us.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for affording us another opportunity to come together for our Wednesday night Bible study once again. Thank you, God, for our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, and a woman of God, Minister Diane Adams. Father God, I thank you for her safe return back home. Keep using her, Lord, in ways that only you can. Father God, I pray that you continue to bless our Bible study and everyone that's listening on tonight. Lord, I pray that we all be blessed with the word that she shall bring forth on tonight, coming from you. Lord, I pray that you give us understanding, comfort, and peace of mind to endure the trials and the chaos as we wait for your return. Hold on, my brothers and sisters, to God's unchanging hands. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. And it's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen, and thank you, God.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Pam. And God honors your faithfulness. I'll say the title of the lesson again. God has given us enough evidence to know who he is. No excuses that will be given when we stand before the righteous judge going to be accepted. And we're coming from Romans 1, 16 through 20. And I have a little bit of background for the book of Romans. We know that the book of Romans was written by Paul as one of his 13 epistles, or as some say, letters. Paul wrote this book to the Roman citizens, the Roman Christians, the new converts, hallelujah, the one who began to believe after Pentecost and the only true God. Paul wrote this letter to them. You know, the book of Romans was called the Constitution of Christianity. We know that the road to salvation is in the book of Romans. It's so much strong, beautiful Christian doctrine in this book. Check it out for yourself. It's also called the cathedral for the Christian faith. You see, the book of Romans makes it clear that nothing we can do to save ourselves, not your good deeds that you may do, or if you ever done, the book tells us that it is as filthy rags before God. Only the thing you do for Christ is going to last. And Jesus paid the price, and all to him we owe. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. The book of Romans spells it out over and over and over beautifully, because he wants us to know that it's Jesus and Jesus alone whereas we can be saved. You see, we were so dead in our trespasses and sins. And it was only grace and mercy of God that came in to save us. We had a debt penalty we needed to pay, but we couldn't because we wasn't righteous enough. We wasn't good enough. Jesus came in and died on the cross and was resurrected on the third day. He paid the price, the debt penalty in full, that all of us could have a chance to the tree of life. You see, and when we turn our lives over to Christ, we no longer are controlled by our sin nature because of the spirit that lives inside of us. If we make confession, make the confession that Jesus is Lord, and believe that he was raised from the dead, we are saved. And Paul in the book of Romans lets us know that we are born again. Many times people have problems with that born again because it was said when he told, I think it was Malachi, about being born again. He said, how could we be born again? Should we go back in our mother's womb? But look at it like this, real simple. We were dead in our sin. That was us in the old. When we accepted Jesus Christ and was washed by the blood of Jesus, we became new. So that's the born again. The born again nature that we received, the born again new life. That's why it's often said, why would someone, after meeting Christ and your sins are taken away, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you begin to walk in a newness, why would we go back to our old man, our old nature? You know, many times I hear people say, you know, somebody is ruffling their sheet metal and, you know, they trying to keep it together, their new nature. And then sometimes people say, they just don't know who I am. Because, baby, I could bring up my old nature and tell them a thing or two. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? The things that we did in our past that we are ashamed of, why in our new life will we repeat it? We need to live our lives offered to God as a living sacrifice, which is only our reasonable service. We should worship God who has saved us. We're not doing it good to be saved, but because God did this and sacrificed his son for us, we should want to serve him. We should want to worship him. We should want to be obedient. One of the best applications that's written in the book of Romans, many agree, is part of the lesson we're going to study tonight, Romans 1 and 16. And it reads, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what the scripture said. You see, we should learn how to apply that. When Paul said he's not ashamed, he's willing to shout it on the rooftops. He's willing to share it with everyone that comes his way. He's willing to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, before his conversion and meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, he studied Judaism. And although Judaism loved the Lord thy God, but they didn't accept his son as the Messiah. Jesus met him on the road and taught him and gave him revelation. And just as vigorous as he was against Christians who wanted to accept Jesus, he became just as vigorous spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone who would listen. God uses who he pleased. And a part of the evidence of God is that God had a master plan before the foundation of the world, and all of us was included. You see, God knew he would use Paul down the line. He knew what Paul would do and how Paul would be steadfast in his belief. See, Paul believed Judaism, but when he received the truth, he believed by faith unto salvation. See, God gives us evidence, because how would God be to just say, believe in me, with no evidence? And crazy as that seems, people who worship idol gods believe in these gods that has not given them anything. It has not talked to them. It has not healed their bodies. The idol gods just sat there, made by hands of man. And yet they believe. And here we have an awesome God giving us evidence every time we wake up in the morning. Every time we go to him in prayers, and your prayers are answered. Every time you read the word of God and get strength. Hallelujah. Evidence of the only true and living God. God has given us enough evidence. He sent his son. He gave us his spirit. He sent the prophets. He sent the priests. He sent the judges. He sent Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, and he sent more and more and more to give us evidence that he's real. So that's why I say tonight, when we stand before the only righteous judge, no excuse that you would try to offer will be accepted. You know, you're not going to be able to say, I went to the church and the preacher made me mad. He said, didn't you see what Timothy wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15, that you should study for yourself as a workman, not being ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said, I sent pastors, teachers, evangelists. I sent them, and you reject them. You're not going to have an excuse that's going to stand before God. So I just want you to know there will be no excuses. And we're going to go into the lesson at this time, and I'm going to read the 16th and the 17th verse. And the verse reads as follows. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. And the Greek represents the Gentile. Hallelujah. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 17. For wherein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, the only way to get to God is by faith. You can't get it with your education. You can't get it with what your mama said. You can't get it. You got to have faith. You got to believe. You see, in that belief, you are saying you believe you need a Savior. See, that belief is so important, because once you believe that you, first of all, when you believe that you need a Savior, and if you could say that, you then should understand the reason you need a Savior is because of sin. Come on now. If you never sinned, why would you need a Savior? But because we all fall short of the glory of God, and we were born with a sinful nature because of Adam. Because we are sinners. A sinner cannot save themselves, and they need a Savior. God, in his 66 books of his Holy Bible, he lets us know that Jesus is the one that is able to save everyone, the Jews and the Gentiles alike, if they believe by faith. You know, I often used to think, when I used to study and things like that, I said, you know, Jesus was not born until the New Testament. And if we say we are saved by Jesus Christ, if Jesus didn't come to the New Testament, what about all those that lived in the Old Testament before the birth of Christ? I pondered. But you see, when you have questions, and you begin to ponder and you begin to search. See, that's what God wants us to search. He says, search like if it's you're searching for gold or diamonds. Not here and there, pick it up and say a line and go sit down and don't meditate. But I begin to search and I realized that they had to come by it the same way, by faith. Come on, y'all. Remember Abraham. Because faithful unto God, God counted his faithfulness as righteousness. Whenever God allows his righteousness to be bestowed upon you, it produces grace. Come on, y'all. And grace is what saves us. It's the unmerited gift that God gives us. It's a gift. We can't earn it. Come on, y'all. We can't buy it. But it's a gift bestowed upon those who believe and come to him by faith, believing that he is who he says is. You know, it is evident that no one is justified before God with the Old Testament law. The law could only cover the sin, but it couldn't take them away. But the blood of Jesus came, and it removed the sin. Come on, y'all. Which God, after you accept Jesus and you accept him by faith, and God bestow you with the gift of grace, now when God looks at us, y'all, he could only see his son. The law didn't have the power to do that. God gives us evidence in that he's, because he's the creator. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. God has all power. He's all knowing and is everywhere at the same time. But I got to ask you, my brothers and sisters, do you believe it? Because you've got to believe it so that it could produce the faith that you need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And you see, God has did something in all of our lives that we know nobody could have did it but God. Come on now. My son at one time was talking about he was studying Muslim, and he made his petition. You know, he laid out his beliefs and said what was in the Quran that made it all right. You know, and I told him what I said, because as Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my son told me, how you know what you believe is real? I said, how you know what you believe is real? Belief is when you can't see. See, faith is now the substance of things hoped for and the evidence you can't see it. See, you got to believe to have faith. You see, you believe what you believe, and the only thing you got to watch what you believe in. But once we believe in God wholeheartedly, that's where we come to God in faith. So my son told me this and he told me that. But you see, ain't nobody could tell me about my God. God has did some things in my life that I know it couldn't have been nobody but God. I know the prayers that I lay before God and how they was answered. I see the hand of God daily in his world that he created. The birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon. It amazes me. I was on a cruise the other week. And it amazes me at nighttime, I go out on the balcony and the water, you can't see anything but water, but yet it stays in their boundaries. Come on, y'all. He said he established it upon the floods. He founded it upon the seas and establishes it upon the floods. What a mighty God we serve. God has given us enough evidence to realize that he's the only true and living God, and that his son has the power to save anyone who believes. And God is preparing an eternal place for us. When Jesus left the earth after he rose from the dead, receiving all power in his hand, and Jesus walked the earth for 40 days, giving evidence. When Jesus helped the blind man to see, it was evident. When he had the lame to walk and the deaf to talk, when he took the 2 loaves and the 5 fish and fed 5,000 and had 12 bags. Baskets left, evidence. You see, in verse 18, they say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, they done made their truth, but it's built on unrighteousness. Are they using the standards of the world for their truth? And verse 19 said, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. God evidence is very, very clear. It's not hidden. Because no way you could go, you can't see the evidence of God. You see it in nature. Every time the rain falls, every time the lightning strikes, every time the wind blew up and formed itself in a tornado, the earth began to crack an earthquake. You see, God, man can't make earthquakes. If they did, we would have been earthquaking away from here because man is evil. And again, I tell you, there's no room for excuses. God has completely and total provided everything necessary for us to live a righteous life, y'all. He didn't ask us to get saved and figure it out all on our own. The scripture in Philippians 2 and 13 say, God said, look here, it is I that work it in you to will and to do my good pleasure. I'm the one give you the gifts. Come on, y'all. I give you the gifts. I work in you and through you. I give you every opportunity to be of service. What I want you to accomplish, this blows my mind. What I want you to accomplish it, and when I send you to go and do it, he said the provisions to accomplish it is already there waiting for you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Saul will never ask you to do something he haven't equipped you to do. Many times people boast and they love to say the scripture. You know, people have things they like to say because it sounds good to them. But people like to say, what God has for me is for me. And I say, yeah, baby, you're so right. But I have to let you know that the work that God has for you to do is for you to do as well. Come on now, y'all. You see, I'm often asked the question, how could people live in this evil and corrupt world without God in their lives? We see it every day, y'all. Because they have belief in something, but it's not God. And many of them, their belief is so strong. It could be their education. It could be their wealth. They believe in it, that it's going to make and keep everything all right. So they're on a belief system, but it's just not on God's system. They're on the world system, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is the standards given by Satan. Come on, y'all. And that's how they go through. They believe they're big and bad enough to do anything they want. And yes, we are free moral agents. But once we meet Christ, we try our best to do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do. Yes, they are free moral agents, and yes, they can do it. And they do it. We see that around us all the time. Our leaders are liars, blatant liars. Our leaders no longer have moral values. Some of the churches seem like the social club. God said in Romans 12 and 1 that I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, for us to present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And number 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we could prove what is the acceptable will of God. You know, God chose the Israelites, the Jews, and he set them apart and made them his precious people. And the intention of God was that if he loved on them and they began to love on him, then all of the nations around the world would see what kind of God he was and how he take care of his own. See, they were supposed to walk in the statutes that God had given them and to be an example And like we like to say today, they were supposed to let their light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But that's not the way that it went. Instead of them conforming to other nations by their walk and their speech and their talk and way God loved them and how they loved their God, they wasn't conforming. But they weren't transforming. Wait, let me get it right. God had them to be an example to transform the others. But what happened? They conformed to the ways of the others. Come on, y'all. That's what's happening in the day. The Church of God is supposed to be a hospital for sick people. It's supposed to be a place where someone who needs a savior can find someone, because they say faith come by hearing, and how could you hear unless there's a preacher? And if there's a preacher, it'd be, you know, if he's not, if how can you hear without a preacher, and how could you have a preacher if he's not sent? But the point I'm saying, that's what God established the church for, y'all. But the church is conforming to the world daily. You know, for me to pay my tithes, I got to go to a Giblify app on the phone, whereas we always brought the collections to the storehouse. When you raise up your envelope, now you raise up your phone. Yes, the world is changing, and so many things is changing. And we have to conform to change. So I'm not saying that that's this or that. I'm just saying what's going on. But we should let our light so shine that God get the glory. And I could ask the question tonight and evaluate your own self. I'm not going to make you press a button or open a mic on you. But we should evaluate ourselves daily. If you don't evaluate yourself, how do you know where you stand? If you're not evaluating yourself and testing evaluation of yourself, how do you know how far you need to go or things you need to do? See, many times we believe that we are afforded the privilege to handle God any kind of way we want, because God is long-suffering. You know, if God, every time you did or say it's something you had no business, he would allow the lightning to strike down on in front of you, like by your feet or something, you would know. But God allows us to want to grow in the knowledge of him, want to get better, want to let our light shine brighter and brighter by the day. But it's up to us. But God has given us everything we need to achieve what he wants. Come on now, this is it. Everything that God wants, he has given to us. And yet we fall short. But God understands and knows man's weakness. That's why he sent the Son. He knew as long as we will be wrapped up in his flesh, that fresh flesh would crave fleshly things until Jesus come back or we die first in the flesh rot in the grave. But long as flesh is alive and well on your body, it's going to be demanding certain things. You know, so that's where the war goes on in our body between the flesh and the spirit. You see, spirit wants the things of God and the flesh wants the things of man, mamma. And that's where the war is. Because your flesh will ask you for things that you shouldn't do. You see, your spirit have never asked you to commit adultery. Your spirit never asked you to speak unkind to somebody, flesh. And we have to realize that, because God does. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I'm talking about the evidence now. Even his eternal power and Godhead. You know, look what it says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen now. Things that was invisible are being said is evidence of his Godhead and his eternal power, so that they are without excuse. Come on, y'all, it's the scripture. 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not, even if they, after they get the evidence, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. After you hear about him, how many people you know you could sit down and have a conversation and quote the Bible better than you and yet don't believe? And yet don't believe. That's like when I realized when the scripture said every knee gonna bow and every tongue is gonna confess that Jesus is Lord when they see him. Ha, 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 coming out of the cloud. They're going to confess that he is Lord. And in a little unlearned stage, I thought that mean that if every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, then everybody would be saved. But the scripture lets us know that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, but not everyone will accept. Come on, y'all. Even after they bowing and confessing, that is Lord, but they still don't accept. Go figure. You see, we know that God is real because he has revealed himself to us with his creation, his holy word, and his son, Jesus Christ. You see, God made all things invisible, all things that were visible, invisible, he made them visible in his creation. He's in into existence in Genesis 1 and 1. You see, they say it in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And verse 2 said, and the earth was without form. There was nothing. The earth was without form. And it was void, and darkness was on the face of the depth. The Spirit of the Lord moved off on the face of the water. Scripture, there was nothing, void and darkness. God used everything he created to show us his evidence. He took care of you and me and my mother's womb, the visible, invisible. You know, the scripture says, while we were yet in our mother's womb, God came and formed our innermost parts, the innermost parts that was not there. It was invisible that he made visible. And you see, all that we are today, the visible, from the invisible, and has guaranteed our life after for the here and now. The visible. The New Jerusalem now is invisible. But God will establish it to be visible. And see, that's why I say he, all that we are today became visible, and God has guaranteed our life after here and now, the New Jerusalem, the 100-year millennium, the 1,000-year millennium. Come on, y'all. Eternal life. Streets made of gold. Hallelujah. God did all of that so that we can know who he is. And that's why I say again, my sisters and brothers, there will be no excuses that can stand up. God has provided the evidence. We must provide the faith. Even though God has done everything for us to believe who he is, there are many cases when someone knows him but refuse to accept him as God, show no reference to him, and are not thankful. One of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. And the scripture talks about our imagination. Don't let your imagination play games on you. Your imagination will play tricks on you. The word God tell us to cast down that imagination. You know, some people say, well, I imagine that. Your imagination will play tricks on you. And everything, he said, the scripture said, cast down your imagination and everything that exalts itself against the word of God. Glory, hallelujah. Your imagination will play tricks on you. You see, and as I close, the lesson tonight teaches us that God has provided all the evidence that the world need to know who he is. The Bible teaches what he has done, is doing, and promised to do in the life of the believer. But you got to believe it to achieve it, y'all. God is doing his part, and it's up to us what part we would like to play. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We are free moral agents, y'all. God has given us a choice to choose what and who we believe and who we decide to serve. It's your choice. God has no respect to person. He shines on the just as well as the unjust. And whatever you feed, my sisters and brothers, that's what's going to grow. But God has given us all of himself, his son and his spirit. What more do we need to live by faith with the evidence that God has given us? In the end, I'm trying to give you a heads up if you need it. And if not, tell someone else. Because in the end, no one will be able to stand before a righteous judge with any excuses that will be able to stand. That's the lesson tonight. Anybody have anything they would like to add? Any comments, questions? You know, something came into your mind when the lesson was going forth that you could share. I always tell you guys, I'm not the smartest kid on the block, and I know personally I don't know everything. And I'm only giving information, and God Spirit is what give you guys revelation about the information. But God has given us this forum where we can press the one button. We can ask questions. We can make interjection. You might want to sing a song. You might want to pray. You could do all of those things. God has given us this forum that could be done. This is our Bible study. So at this time, if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Well, if that's it for tonight, I thank God for the opportunity. I pray that the Holy Spirit reveals to us the intended purpose why God gave this message to Paul for us to visit tonight. So if there's nothing else to be said, we're going to have Sister Pam come back and give us a benediction, the word of God for us to meditate on till we meet again. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen, my sister. We still have about 5 minutes if anyone would like to say anything. And if not, we'll go ahead on. We'll go. And we'll close for tonight. The benediction has already been read. So I pray that everybody go in peace. Have a great night's sleep. I pray that this week God bless each and every one of us real good. And if there's anything that's going in your life that you need God to handle, that he will. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next Wednesday night at the same time. But until then, go in peace. And I pray that the love of God bless each and every one of us real good. Good night, my sisters and brothers. Be blessed.